that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
And good morning. Saturday morning's rolled around again, and it's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Join us, won't you? Pour you a cup. Get your Bible out. Enjoy this song, and we'll be back right after this.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will cheek and don't give in, 'cause that old wheel will roll around again, roll around again.
And can you believe it? It has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning, and we thank you for joining us live for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here it's the last Saturday in August, isn't it? 8/25/2012, Saturday, August 25th. Summertime's almost over. But we do welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. We say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Remnant out there. We know that the Remnant out there is up early this Saturday morning, a little earlier on the West Coast than on the East, but nonetheless. Well, we'll start out with a word of prayer. Kyle, would you do that for us this morning?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly and treating you, Lord, and we just ask for your Holy Spirit guidance on what we say today, on our thoughts. And we ask for your Holy Spirit protection on not only us, Lord, but on the remnant out there that are yours. We just ask you for us all to have a blessed day, blessed weekend, Lord, and let us be a blessing in your eyes. We come to you this morning and just ask for you to bind and bound and keep the enemy back from us as we fight the good fight of faith, attempt to, and give us more strength and endurance and courage and comfort and peace, Lord, in our fight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, lots going on in the world. Kyle and I were talking right before the broadcast, Jason, about Isaac. New hurricane that's roaring up into Florida. Have you seen much on that here in the last day or two, an update?
Yeah,
or?
A little bit. I guess the whole state of Florida pretty much is on hurricane watch right now.
That's what I heard. And it looks like it's down there below Haiti, but headed that way. Kyle, I think you said they'd updated the storm track. I talked about it Thursday night a little bit. I had a note from Tom in Texas. And then it looked like it might be hitting, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, maybe even Louisiana, just in time for southern decadence again.
Well, you know, that thing can move wherever God wants it to move. It did look like going right up the Gulf side of Florida into Alabama. That's what I seen.
Well, we will see. We sure prayed Wednesday night for his people to have protection from it. Talked to my brother-in-law down in Central Florida, and yeah, they sure welcome the rain, but said they don't want the wind or the tornadoes that seem to come with it. And he said they were sure going to be praying, for sure. So, yeah, I see here on the internet news, found a new pair of batteries for the mouse, Jason. So, it looks like, I don't know, it's looking here like New Orleans might be on it come about Tuesday or Wednesday. So, we'll see. Plenty to pray about these days. Jason, what you got down there for the people out there? You got anything big this morning?
People down there in Florida are taking it when they have a hurricane watch like that.
I'm sorry?
I wonder how serious those people are taking it.
You know, being that now it looks like it's going to be up the Gulf Coast, like Kyle said, you know, some of those people, like down in the Keys and people that have lived there for a long time, it just depends. You have some people that go ahead and leave. But I think the majority of the people just ignore it. Oh, they have hurricane parties. That's huge down there. They literally will do that.
Is it a cry wolf situation? Or
you know, I think that
is
they
it just their home and they don't want to leave.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I think one thing too is they realize that if it comes through, it's going to be some wind and it might, you know, tear up the roof a little bit, blow some trees down, that type of thing. The power might be out for a couple days, you know, but it's not like here in Wyoming or even there where Jason's at in LaPorte in Colorado. You know, we have 500,000 people in 400 square miles here. You know, there's places down there, they'll have 500,000 people in 4 square miles. And so there's so many people there in Florida. And there's really so few ways out. You know, your interstates, there's only your two main interstates that run down the state. And I think also so many of them feel if they leave, their house will get looted.
Yeah.
Because that is, you know, because there's no justice in the land. There's no liberty. It's all violence. So I think when you combine all that, they'll look at it and say, well, it's not a class 5 or whatever the category is. Not a category 5 or, you know, it's not the worst one, so it's just going to be a storm. And when it's just like that, it's similar to when they forecast a big, heavy snowstorm coming in for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not be able to get to work. You might lose power for a day or two. The interstate might be closed for a couple days, so you better have a little bit of food stocked up and not plan on running to the grocery store every day. So
it seems like every part of the country has their own, what would you say it, God's nature problems.
Severe,
you know?
Weather.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, pretty much they get every year, you know. And it all should be, you know, every time there is any type of a sign, you should perk up. You know, I mean, because you never know what's on the horizon.
That's true.
Well, and it's kind of interesting that they named it Isaac, too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
I mean, hurricanes, don't they usually have women's names?
Well, they came against that a few years ago, the women's libbers, and they demanded that some hurricanes be named men.
Yeah, yeah, they used to, Jason. I remember, you know, Hurricane Donna back in the 50s and 60s, people talking about, and Hurricane Irene and and Katrina.
Now they have men's and women's. I wonder how they pick out the name Isaac, though.
Well, they go in alphabetical order. They start with the A's, but, you yeah. know, how they come up with them, I don't know.
I heard that at the beginning of the year, I don't know if this is true or not, but the beginning of the year that they go ahead and they pick all the names for all the upcoming hurricanes and storms and stuff, and then they go down a list. But
yeah, I've seen the list before they hit.
Yeah,
know?
they do every year. They you're absolutely right, Jason. Right. They make a list of this year's hurricanes, if they have them, you know. Right. And they go through the alphabet. And so they set them up, and then just as they develop, they name them. So this is, it's almost like a casting lots, I think.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I mean, that perked my interest. I mean, when we were talking about it in the office earlier this week, remember you said something about Hurricane Isaac, and I'm like, well, what's the next one going to be called? Jacob? Because, you know, J's right after I, and it was just like, you know, I don't know what the next one's called, but Isaac kind of perked my interest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it did Tom in Texas, too. We had a nice, had an email from Tom, and he says, been watching this, and this was the tropical storm Isaac, now it's Hurricane Isaac, and he says it's one of its current projected paths might have it hit New Orleans just in time for southern decadence. He says, Isaac means laughter. And I think drowning out all those faggots, dykes, and whatever's, even taking some of them out, would be just funny.
Yeah, the thing that I thought of was Isaac was the child of promise.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
You know, and we're promised a destruction coming. You know, so, I mean, it's just something to, you know, to make your eyebrows go up a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think Jesus said that it's a crooked and perverse generation that looks for a sign. But that doesn't mean he doesn't send signs to his people. You know, the people that were asking for a sign, oh, give us a sign, say the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Antichrists and the those of the world. And
well, and the thing of it is that they had signs.
They did.
Just like we have signs. Like you said this morning, you can tell summer's coming to an end, you know. I mean, we might all of a sudden get a heat wave again. You know, I'm not saying we won't.
Or it might snow.
Right. But you can tell fall is here, just about, you know.
Yes.
And we can tell by society, by the way the world is, that the last days are here. You know, now we might get another heat wave.
Right.
You know, and the next age or the next season, however you want to put it, might not arrive quite tomorrow. But then again, it might, you know, I mean, but the signs are here, you know, so. Quite apparent.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the crime is just rampant in the streets. Don't know if you saw this in the news. Sure didn't make CNN, you know, here. Oh, what was it? Several months ago, this young black youth down in Florida was shot and killed, and that was a hate crime, right? Wasn't that one? Who was it shot him? Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch guy. And all of a sudden you find out that even though Zimmerman was kind of Hispanic, not really what you'd call white, but he shot this poor unarmed black youth, and that's a hate crime. And the world goes crazy. Jesse Jackson comes out and starts talking about it. Our President Obama Nation even makes a comment, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin, right? Because, well, for whatever. And the picture that they put out of this Trayvon was his picture like from sixth grade. Remember that? That's how the media portrayed it. And it was all over the media, here and there. And, you know, they're thinking that Zimmerman may get off now, just as a side note, because that's how the laws were written down there. And, He was attacked. He had a broken nose, and his head was busted open in the back. And I mean, the 6'2", you know, cute little Trayvon Martin was beating the snot out of him, and he pulled his gun and shot him.
Well, you didn't hear that right away, did you?
No, you didn't. But you know, you hear hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. Well, in St. Louis, don't know if you've seen this, but. Got a picture here of this beautiful little blue-eyed, blonde-haired Megan Boken, 23 years old. college student. She was back in Illinois for like a what do you call it, a alumni game. You know, just came back. They're all getting together to, you know, play a, I don't know if it's a charity game or what. And two black 18-year-olds walk up to her, try to rob her in her car, is how they're pronouncing it. It's not a hate crime. They come up and shoot her, kill her, right there in her car, broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not a hate crime, though. It's a botched robbery by two 18-year-old black males. And, you know, I ask, where's the outrage? Where are the white Jesse Jacksons? Where are the white governors or anybody, the white anybody that cries out for the white people that are killed all the time by the blacks? Why do you think they don't, Jason? You think it's the fluoride?
Well, I think that definitely plays an effect into it. That's part of it.
But, I mean, don't the blacks drink fluoride? Don't they have fluoride in their water, you know? I mean, I think it is, too. It's just this and I know it's the curses of Deuteronomy 28,
you know, that apply to us. I also think part of it is the genetics in Israelites isn't always made up to just point the finger over there and say it's all their fault. I mean, some do, but the genetic, you know, so yeah, we all know the differences between the races and the cultures and the characteristics and the, you know, but the first thing we holler out isn't like a lot of the minority races, because they always first point the finger at the honky or whatever,
right,
and say it's all their fault, you know,
right.
But and I don't think our nature, our blood tends to do that. You know, I mean, we get mad at it and we can see it. It's obvious. You know, I mean, those crimes happen all the time. They've happened for so many years, it's ridiculous.
I think the people are used to it.
But we don't have that nature of always blaming somebody else. I mean,
no, we try to make different excuses. Well, she shouldn't have been in that part of town. She shouldn't have been hanging out with the people she was hanging out of. She shouldn't have been in Chicago. She should have had a gun. She, you know, I mean, we look at a lot of different things, and we try to take the blame and disperse it amongst many different things instead of pointing it at one person or one group of people,
right,
like the other races do, like the Mexicans do, like the blacks do, like the Indians do. You know, it's the evil white man that did all this stuff to them.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually the first thing out of their mouth. It isn't, what's the whole truth here? What's the just thing here? I mean, that never comes out. Like you were talking about that case, you know, from months ago. I never heard about this, him getting beat up and his head being cracked open.
They didn't.
Because they don't want justice.
Right.
All they want is to accuse and excuse one another. I mean, that's all they want to do, you know. Where, and there's white people like that too.
Oh, sure.
But on a whole, our genetics are different. Our responses are different. You know, I mean,
I think our enemies know that, and I think they've played to that at least for the last couple generations, and they've made it so it is a thought crime. The people, I think the white people think it's a crime to think anything about race whatsoever. And I think they think it's a crime to hate.
Yeah, they do. They think it's a sin to love your own more than somebody else.
It is. And
well, it's programming, and it's been they've been given over to a deluding influence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it, you know, I mean, our Heavenly Father said it had happened, and we've been turned over to it as a people. It's kind of interesting, because it's really interesting to watch, and I've done this several times lately, where just in a situation where they don't really want to make this happen, and filling out paperwork or doing something like that, whether it be at the courthouse or something, and, well, we really can't do that for you. And I look at them and I ask them, are you discriminating against me? I think you're discriminating against me. And it's interesting. It is really interesting to see people's reaction when you tell them that you think that they're discriminating against you. And, of course, it was discrimination.
That's like, that's like calling them the worst name in the book or something, huh?
Exactly. And they look at me and they're like, hey, you know, you're white. You're not supposed to be playing this discrimination card. But it really has a strange effect on them because nobody wants to be accused that I've met so far of discriminating.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I was helping my brother take care of some stuff, and they were like, well, we can't do that for you. And I looked at this lady, and I said, I think you're discriminating against him. You're discriminating against him, aren't you? And I turned to him, and I said, I'm sorry that they're discriminating against you. I said, we need to do something about this and stop this discrimination. And it was like I slapped this lady upside the face, up and down, and called her every name in the book. I couldn't hardly respond to it. But it was true.
Yeah.
And it's like people have been so programmed that you can't discriminate. Discrimination is a bad thing. Well, they discriminate against us all the time.
Sure.
You know, you look at the blacks on white crime, that shows you right there that blacks discriminate.
And they look for white victims. And it's not reported. You know, the black on white crimes are not reported. You know, any minority, they're just not. You know, but you let a black person get killed, and if it's by the hand of somebody that's just not black, see, it's very rare they even report the black on black crime, but you let a white person do that, and it is all over the news. It truly is. But you know, there's no outrage for Megan Bogan, just 23-year-old, just another white girl, shouldn't have been there, like you said. You know, and the people just go on back but you know, the preseason game was on and blah, 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 you know, and our people just don't care anymore. It is those last days where the love of man has grown cold.
Waxed cold, yep.
And because the love is gone, the hate is gone. You know, there's a poem up here. If you guys up for a little poetry this morning, there's a poem up here on the pastor's board by Kipling. The day the Anglo-Saxon began to hate. And that'll come back. Because until the hate comes back, the love will not come back. We talked about that Thursday night a little bit. How love and hate are both four-letter words. And they're two sides of the exact same coin. And until you white man out there, until you Christian out there, learn to hate. Until you learn to hate the evil and hate the sin. And hate the false way, and hate the greed and idolatry, then your 23-year-old daughters will continue to get killed, and your sons, and your wives, and your brothers, and your parents. Kipling's, the day the Anglo-Saxon began to hate. It was not part of their blood, it came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxons began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy willing to wait till every count should be proved ere the Saxons began to hate. Their voices were even and low. Their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxons began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd. It was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxons began to hate. It was not suddenly bred, it will not swiftly abate. Through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxons began to hate. We'll come back and talk about that again. Let's go to the phone lines. Phones are ringing this morning. Good morning. Did you mean to call into Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers?
Yes, I did, of course. I'm sitting here with my first cup of coffee of the day.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, what's your name? I don't quite recognize.
My name's Rebecca.
Rebecca?
Rebecca.
Well, thanks for
calling.
Yeah,
I called once before about when you were talking about diet.
Sure.
New listener, basically. I was listening, I might have missed some because I had to come outside so there wouldn't be feedback if you picked up.
Yeah, yeah.
About the the Africans point the fingers at, you know, the honky and the Mexicans do to the gringos and the Native Americans. I don't know what they call us, but it seems to me that it's possible. I mean, you might know about this since you guys are pretty hip.
That'd be Jason. That's it.
Okay. In the Bible, we have, we're instructed to beware of those false Jews who are actually the sons of Satan. You know, they call themselves Jews, and I've listened to some of Pastor Peter's past, preaching, and he names, you know, he names names, and I can't be afraid to either. The false Jews are those people who are controlling thousands of organizations that are encouraging the, minorities, the underdog, so to speak, to point their finger at the evil white man. And what they're doing is, it seems to me, is diverting attention from the fact that we're breaking God's law. You know, instead of staying focused on doing what we're supposed to, you know, as Israel, the people Israel, we are getting our attention diverted from our proper task of worshiping God and, you know, obeying His law and living under the grace that He gave us through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, that's exactly what's going on, Rebecca. You know, you look on Sunday mornings, not to get into the debate of, because we get the email, right, why do you go to church on Sunday morning, you know? But
yeah,
if you look at Sunday morning, as we're going down to church, you see in the summertime, you see the boats coming up here to the lakes, and you see the fishermen coming up to the lakes, and you see the golfers, and you see the people bringing their four-wheelers. And then in the wintertime, you see the snowmobiles and the skiers and the rock climbers, and it's anything and everything, you know, from Monday night football to Saturday night football to, you know, there's so many things that our enemy has put before our eyes to do. You know, we're even to worship Mother Nature. Do anything except what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And it's just part of the whole scheme of the sons of Satan, the false Jews, as they were named in the New Testament. I mean, we need to get that out more. I so appreciate hearing what Pastor Peter says. My brother Jerry has played some of the CDs for me, and it's, gosh, I'm learning so much. And it's just hearing that information that has helped me understand, and I'm putting this together, you know. The Africans, everybody's diverted, not just the Israelites, us, but everybody's diverted from the truth. There's a guy named David Barton, I know you know who he is, Wall Builders, and how black regiment being, not black people, but the pastors dressed in black.
Sure.
And they didn't let us get diverted. They put the truth in front of us, and I appreciate what you guys are doing, and maybe I know that somewhere along the line Pastor had coming together of, he invited a whole bunch of pastors, and some came and some didn't. But to get that truth out to them, anyway, that was just my thought. No great deal, but just a thought there.
Well, Rebecca,
thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for continuing to listen in. And, you know, the Bible says, seek and ye shall find.
Right.
So if you
and
seek,
I will continue to pray that we have success in the Lord and bringing truth to others.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca.
Right. Have a good day.
You too. You know, Kyle, that reminds me, a little off subject, but we were just talking, I think it was yesterday morning, about how, you know, when a message is going out, whether you're giving it on Sunday morning or it's one of the pastors or it's Coffee with the Wranglers, you'd never know what level the people that are listening are at. You know, sometimes we assume, but you know, that well, they understand this or they understand that.
Right. Well, and her point, you know, I mean, let's just sum it up. I like to sum it up with just calling them antichrist, you know, because that's what they are.
Absolutely.
They deny the Son. It is true. You know, need to get it out there as often as we can, because without choking the babe, so to speak. You know, sometimes you can put it out there, but Pastor did it. Sometimes he just put it out there as blunt could be, and it probably did choke some, you know. But then there was times where he would say, well, you know, let's not go that route. Let's use this word, because then it won't choke some of the people that, you know, don't know exactly what, you know. So there, you know, there's kind of a tough balance.
Would you call that maybe, you know, the leading of the Holy Spirit?
You better let the Spirit lead, you know. Yeah. But I do agree with Rebecca. We need to get it out there more, what the Antichrist, the world order, the, you know, whatever you want to call it. I've been studying a little bit lately on circumcision, you know, and how Paul, I mean, that's what Paul basically called them, you know, those of the circumcision, you know, who are always trying to, you know, have their little alternative motives and trying to make people fall away from Jesus Christ, you know, by their little games that they would play, you know what I mean? And then, you know, he'd come to the people and he'd call them fools, basically. Oh, you foolish Galatians, or whatever it was, you know, who bewitched you, you know? And he'd come back, and it was always these, like she said, the Revelations 2:9 and the Revelations 3:9, you know, those that were saying they were the called, the those who say they are Jews but are not, you know, I mean, the Antichrist, you know. And,
are you talking about the circumcision with hands or without hands?
Well, Paul was talking about the ones of the flesh, you know, and so that would be with hands, you know. And basically, what it was a stumbling block in front of those who were seeking the Lord, or who maybe the Lord had already found them, and they were always trying to get them to go a different direction, and. Everything that this Bible is based on and was building up to is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we keep the laws. I mean, that's our whole way of pleasing God today is to put it all together, use the whole Bible to work up to this one point, to where grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ, and anybody, and that's what this whole thing's all about, this whole world order. And I know some people can't see the whole forest, they can just see a tree. And you gotta battle the trees too, because you come up on a tree, you need to cut it down and go through it, you know. But there's a whole forest of all kinds of enemies out there that Rebecca's talking about, and it's like they come at every race too, because if you're a slave and all of a sudden the enemies of Christ come and tell you you shouldn't be a slave, you know, you have every much as right to do this. They come at every angle, you know. There's so many trees to battle, but basically we need to get back to, you know, talking about the Antichrist, you know, those who proclaim that they are God's people and they're not.
And they're not. Yeah, you look at what they have done, and I'll just call them Jews for what they are, what the hook-nosed, kinky-haired, Antichrist Jews have done with the Civil Rights Act. You know, they've replaced the inalienable rights that we have as God's people with civil rights. And they practice. It's like the doctors practicing medicine. Well, if this doesn't work, we'll try something else. Or we'll practice this for a few years and see what happens. And that's just what the Antichrist, the enemy, has done with the black race. You know, before the 1965 Civil Rights Movement and Act, the black man lived in the home. The black father lived in the home. You had black communities. The prisons in the United States were not 70% in some places black like they are today. And so you're right, when that enemy comes in and they tell them that, oh, you're equal, you're supposed to be equal, and separate is not equal, and all these things, what have they done? They said they were wanting to help the black man and the black race, and they have destroyed it. They have absolutely destroyed it. You know, back in before the Civil Rights Movement, you had black communities. You had blacks that owned banks, blacks that owned their businesses. And the black family, for the most part, was still a family. Well, they're not today. For the most part, in generalities, the majority of them are not today. Oh, they have family, you know, but the black woman is the head of the family. With her, whether it's one or 12 children, and the black youths are in jail or out killing the blondes in botched robberies in St. Louis.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, how many, well, I've witnessed tons of interviews with black men that'll say, I feared my mama, you know, because my mama, man, when, you know, if I did something wrong, my mama was going to beat me. They hardly ever say that about their father or their dad. Or,
right.
Well, and, you know, like the pastor used to bring up, well, because they don't even know their dad, but.
And it's not pound on black days today, but it's just, that's the way it is. An enemy has done this. It's like the tares in the wheat.
Look what the enemy did to the white family. You know,
that's the point I'm getting at, is they practiced for the last two generations, they practiced on the blacks, like practicing medicine. And they have succeeded. They have destroyed the blacks. They've convinced them that every time something happens to them, like you said earlier, it's the white man's fault. Yeah. It's honky's fault. He owes you. Look at our whole government system today of the welfare, and now they call it, what they call it, Jason, SNAP or something like that. They get all these hip names for being on welfare, and you know, the more babies you have, the more money you get, and it's second and third generation now of these blacks that have lived with their hand out waiting on that government check. They have destroyed, and it's the enemies of Christ that have done it. They have destroyed the black family. The blacks are cannon fodder to the enemies of Christ to get to the white man, to get to the white families. And you look at it today, and they are full bore, right on schedule, if not ahead of schedule, on doing their absolute best to destroy the white race and the white family as well. You don't like it? Change this channel. You know, go listen over there to one of the Joneses to tell you about this or that, or turn on.
Well, the basic of the matter is we're not even talking about individual races. We're talking about the enemy. You know, and it's like Rebecca brought up, we're talking about those who are causing this. They're the children of the devil, whatever you want to call them. That's the problem. When they came against the white race with that Dr. Spock, you know, at first, you can't spank your kids, and then your wives shouldn't submit to their husbands, you know, because that's ridiculous, you know, what kind of partnership is that? I mean, they came against the whites in a different way, but it was effective. You know, all of a sudden you have children that grew up who had never been spanked before, you know, never had an attitude adjustment. You know, you have wives that think, you know, that, well, why couldn't a woman be a preacher? And why couldn't because they were at work years ago impounding this into, you know.
Yes.
And, I mean, in a way, it's not fair, but in a way, it's absolutely fair, you know, because it's just, you know, I mean, do not be deceived. God is not mocked.
Amen.
You know, I mean,
well, there used to be an old saying called, war was the Jewish harvest time. And, if you know, that used to be a common saying here in the United States, and if you look at, you know, and you take that word to Jew, but to Antichrist, I mean, that's what really it is all these wars that we've had, the Antichrist have fed off of it, and they've gotten rich off of it, and they've stood back. It's like the pastor used to say, 9 times out of 10, if you have a problem between two people or two groups of people, you look for an unseen third party.
Yes.
And, you know, that's taken place in the wars that we've had in America, and it has been a war. It's been a war on black people. It's been a war on white people. It's been there's been an ongoing race war that we've had here in this country for a number of years.
Yep. Yeah, it's like you go back to I was listening to the 2000 Portland, the two tapes that Pastor put out after his, you know, February 2000, his Portland meeting, you know, and he talked about
that was the preparedness expo out there.
Yeah, he talked about those protesters, and he had sound bites, or you could hear him in the background or whatever yelling, you haters, you, and they don't even know what they're protesting. But there was an unseen third party, this coalition of antichrist, whatever they wanted to call themselves, the ADL or the other big one back then. But anyway, they got them together. They got them to do that because, you know, they programmed all these, like you were saying, Richard, for so many years now, they have programmed people to think, like Jason when he went to wherever he was at and he started saying what he was saying, that these certain words, these certain things right. were horrible.
Discrimination. Yeah. Racist. Hater. You're a hater.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody yelling out venomously, you're a hater, to somebody who's they've never even talked to before? You know, I mean, it's like, you're calling me a hater?
You don't know me.
Yeah, you don't know me, and you're standing there yelling at me, acting like you want to hit me or what? I mean,
sure.
I mean, it's unreal, you know, but it's like they can't see logic, you know. I mean, there's no logical answer. There's no justification. There's just, you know, it is what it is.
Well, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes. Aren't you following the important issues of the day? You know, Romney is ahead in the poll.
You know, and
you
that's right.
That?
And Israel
Nobody
must strike
Iran.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
Anyway, guys, I'm just not with it. Well, you know, the interesting thing you're talking about, the pitting of the blacks against the whites. Now they're starting to pit the Muslims against the whites, you know. And I mean, you know, I'm no flag waver for the Muslims, but, you know, they conveniently ignore some of these other, quote, faiths when they're, going after them. Except they're also protected too, you know. I mean, it's a, you know, total sham by the same people, of course.
Yep.
One little interesting thing. I'm sure you saw that Diana Nyad, who was going to swim from Cuba to Key West, the dike, got chewed up by the jellyfish. So,
good news
for the day.
Huh.
That's about it.
Yeah, but you don't. Again, you got to dig to find the pretty little blonde that's killed by the two.
Sure.
By the two filthy blacks. The black
you really do have to think. I'm looking at Google News.
And it's a botched robbery. It's not a hate crime.
Oh, yeah.
When they go up and who knows what they did to her, but they just shoot her right there in her car. That's not a hate crime. They did that because they loved her. They just wanted her. It's just a botched robbery. It was a mistake.
Well, remember the guy that back down in Texas some years back who went in and you know, you damn Christians, and he shot up the whole church. You know, wasn't a hate crime.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, don't try that out here. Bill, Bill, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks
for the call. All right. Well, I drank all my coffee this morning.
Me too.
Should have brought a little more, huh? I bet Jason's still sitting down there with a full pot.
Probably. What was your show about last night, Jason?
Anything? I didn't make it here. I was out of town.
Oh, you were? See, we don't even know what each other's doing.
Yeah. Sometimes. You think about, you were just talking about this war. It's okay, so you got a group of people that's in poverty, that it's on food stamps. You got people that's supporting it. You know, you look at how much money is generated just in the taken from one group of people and supplying another group of people. And how foolish are we to think that there's not another third group of people that's there that are getting their cut of the pie?
Yeah, the biggest cut, probably.
Exactly. Right. The biggest cut for producing nothing.
Right.
For being a parasite.
A parasite. And
for being a parasite, a cancerous cell on a group of people where they're absolutely producing nothing.
Yeah. So, got to just keep putting the truth out. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what sets you free.
And make sure that if you live in Houston, you keep your dogs in. Did you hear about that?
No.
Police officer goes to the wrong house to investigate, and dog comes up to him, and he shoots the dog.
Well,
and he had the wrong house. And the people are outraged. And
good thing it wasn't the kid that came out, huh?
Exactly.
And how, you know, that's another thing that never gets reported. Everything the police do is right. You know, you not that we watch TV, but you have all the cop shows on TV now. You know, the cops are the heroes. Everything they do, they're, you know, the dash cams and the high speed chases, and when they jump out and chase these crooks and bad guys down, you know, everything they do is right. SWAT and CSI, and oh, it's great, right? These guys are just the heroes, and they know everything, and everything they do is right. But that's so rarely reported, and so many times. Well, did that very thing happen to one of our people in Missouri? John.
Yeah.
Here, a false accusation is made against him. So the SWAT team comes, breaks his windows, arrests him, takes him in, all this stuff. Come to find out, oh, it was just one false witness.
Yeah, and who knows what would have happened to him if God hadn't protected him.
Yeah.
And God, I mean, God did protect him. It's never reported when, you know, I've seen beatings on TV, you know, where the protesters are having a sit-in or, you know, and you've watched that before, and you've watched the so-called law enforcement agents or whatever they want to call police force. They run in, they kick, they act like a bunch of...
The peace officers.
Yeah.
The peace officers.
Used to be, yeah. But anyway, I mean, they act like a bunch of cowards is what they act like. You know, I mean, they don't go in like a man would go in.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's almost embarrassing, you know. But nobody ever talks about that. Nobody ever says anything because they have the right to do whatever they want because they work for Big Brother or Uncle Sam or whatever you want to call them. But Esau Edom, basically, is where it all boils down to. It all goes right back to the Antichrist. And they're just doing their job. That's how they've been taught and how they've been brainwashed. And that's, you know, not excusing it. I'm just saying that that's just a matter of life anymore. And nobody ever points out the problem. The problem is that, like Jason says, it's that unseen third party. The ones that's making all the money. The one who is on top of the world right now. But the world's going to be flipped over here.
Again,
yep.
It will.
Well, and it is, you know, it is the time of deception, of deceiving and being deceived. And, you know, for instance, you look at, you know, what they just determined as far as Obama's Twitter followers. You know, Obama supposedly had 18.8 million followers on Twitter. Well, they just determined that over 70% of them were fake. 70% of them were fake, computer-generated, purchased followers.
Huh. And that was just to make him look better? Is that
well, yeah. I mean, you see somebody, you know, people, it's like a school of fish. You know, the more fish you get in it, the bigger it looks, the greater it looks, you know, and they jump on the bandwagon and like, oh, okay, well, because there's so many people that don't have a clue what's going on in any of the political stuff at all.
Right.
You know, but if they see 18.8 million people following this guy thinking this guy's great,
right,
they're automatically going to start following.
Like the big protest, like the million man protest that only has, you know, 100,000 or 10,000.
Exactly.
You know? And then they show 10,000 people on TV and it looks like a lot of people, you know,
yeah,
so somebody
our
says a million.
Are, exactly. They're imitators. There's nothing changed. That's how we learn. That's how we're taught. And it's still in people's DNA. They want to be an imitator. And if they see 18, you know, 19, 20 million people over here saying, oh, this guy's great, but, you know, oh, they don't have to look into it. They don't have to study it. They don't have to determine something for themselves. It takes the mental value out of it, where it's like, okay, why should I have to look at these things and figure it out for myself? And they've completely eliminated people from becoming up with original thought. And
Jason, I think that's exactly why those people you were talking about, when you throw the discrimination card, when they hear that word, they can't think enough to say, wait a minute, no sir, I'm sorry, you've misunderstood, Jason. We're not discriminating against you. It's this, this, and this. You know, they can't think that. They hear that word, and they're fearful. See if we got time for one more caller. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Wranglers. This is Guy of Montana. I was just sitting there listening to you when you read that thing about the when the Saxons begin to hate. That's a unique thing in the character of the Anglo-Saxon Israelite people, is the depth of patience that we seem to be able to manifest. And the enemy...
Better than others.
Well, the enemy... I sat here and read this Protocols of Zion because I found in there one place that said for them... Those guys that they said to be aware of any man who can quote Mark 16:17, that's picking up serpents, and they do not fear our lapdogs like Alex Jones and all that. They see, I believe without a doubt that that man's telling us so that Satan and his minions can legitimize their destructive behavior towards the Adamites. And old Alex Jones, I heard him say, SFA needs more Al-Qaeda, and he said it three times. And, some show he was doing. And anyway, when it comes to this stuff, when I heard, like, Richard from the East Coast there on the show about the Olympics, we've got to learn to visually experience this world, like, through the media or what other means, but not don't take it personal and do it strictly as an analytical experience, like when you watch TV or listen to Alex Jones or read the news about the little white girl got beat up or murdered, and all the overt oppressive things that are dispatched towards the defeated people. That'd be us, because God said he was going to do it. And so learn not to take it personal. Understand that these are building blocks to their destruction, and it's praise the Lord time every time. Somebody said something about, you know, we're going to have guts and stuff to fight. I'm very convinced that 90% of the fight is spiritual, and real guts comes when you are faithful under incredible and amazing circumstances. This will also need guts to believe and be faithful and never stop. That's where real guts comes in. When everything looks bad, rejoice, because your faith will bring you through. And this stuff, it's just garbage. And these people, the writers of the protocols talked about it, providing us drama, all these other things to massage our creative mind. We have a different mind than them. They know it. They call it conceit or ego. And they've invented all this dialect to drive us into the ground, those of our race who will be given over to this destructive activity that's taking place. Then again, there's those of us who are faithful, praying servants to our God. Some of us have been given a path of life that has sculptured a masterpiece in God's eyes of personality for each particular job. Rick from the East Coast, I love to hear him talk. He researches it, doesn't take it personal. He's not flattering himself. He's just giving you the facts. And it's a pleasure listening to Jason and them. And, for instance, these guys that have come up in here in this country here doing work, they're from south of the border. And those people live and breathe and die war, battle, fighting, how they can kill and fight and destroy. I mean, it's in their culture. Because we've been subdued mentally and physically as well by pleasure and luxury that we created amazing industry. Our enemy knows that we're incredibly industrious people. And that's one of the things they've tried and successfully to some extent destroyed. But the Bible says the sound of the craftsman will not be heard in her. And that's why there's no white boys out here working. We get them shipped off to war prior. See, we've never been in a war that God approved. Earl Jones talked about that when Germany fell up there in Russia. God didn't send them there, so they fell. Every war we go to is not God approved. Therefore, we bring home nothing but destruction and misery. spiritual stuff. I'm always referring to Vietnam because everybody had Buddha beads and this, that, and the other thing going on. We come back here to the country, and all of our young men, the fiber of the culture in our country was our young men, and everybody was going to war and coming back, and no covering on us when we go over there. Now our children are not even dying in battle. They're just shooting themselves, and this is a result of the faithlessness. Our enemy, it is these Jews and those who call themselves Jews that are not, but it's also these turncoats within our own ranks, the white Anglo-Saxons, the lovers of money and all that. Mitt Romney makes $700 million a year. Well, that's good for him, but I know this, and I know this about them. People, they will not live and ever be satisfied in the flesh. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We little simple servants of our King Jesus Christ, we know peace, joy, and contentment and satisfaction of the soul. And these maniacs who've been struck in the head, who constantly strike us in the heel, that take our flesh, the livelihood of our flesh, their job, the only thing these crazy people can do is to drive away the spirit of peace and joy and contentment. And I like to rejoice, not over the suffering of anyone. I do know and count on the fact that they will be destroyed. And I don't want to ponder the agony that they've lived through and they're going to experience in the end. And when I say that they've lived through it, it's because I know that they're never happy. Like faggots, they're never happy. Angry blacks, they're never happy. These crazy Mexicans that are just warlike people, they're never happy. There's no peace in their lives. We have peace and contentment. The real guts in this battle is be faithful to the God who has called you. And I'm so glad I got to hear you guys talk, and I'm sorry I took up so much time. And one day I'll be able to carry on a conversation with anybody. Hey, good morning, and thank you.
Good morning.
You still there?
That was good,
yeah. Good.
We were listening.
Hey, you ever read Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 5? I was just reading that. I think Pastor may have touched on this. The Philistines took the Ark of God. The Ark of God, in this story, is Jesus Christ in my mind. And they said it with Dagon, their God. And he fell over. This whole thing in 1 Samuel chapter 5 is like a story about Jesus Christ. And every time I read these little stories, somehow we come out of it okay. We're not supposed to know that stuff because our preachers do not want us to know, these preachers in the world. But those of us that are the Adamites who've betrayed my people, now I do ponder their pain and suffering, their agony and their destruction because they have turned against our God and led our sheep astray. You know, in the book of Enoch, it talks about all this stuff. It just uses different words, but anyway,
well, Guy, we're out of time, but brother,
I know I'm done.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, brother.
All right, sir. And sorry, we got Jerry on the line. Couldn't get to you, Jerry. We thank you all for tuning in. We invite you to church tomorrow morning at scripturesforamerica.org. 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Join us, won't you? We hope that you will. We're going to go out with this song. The pastor sure liked it. Jason, thanks for joining us, guys.
Yep, we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.
Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.